For believers, it's the gospel that gives us joy and strength for each day. We find that gospel, that good news, throughout the Bible, both in the New and the Old Testament. Isaiah proclaimed that gospel in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy when he said about Jesus, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're glad that you've joined us. Each weekday afternoon, we come to you with gospel-centered, biblical teaching. Here's our host, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me. What is God's will for your life? You know, what does God want to see come from your life? How can you know? You know, those are big questions for many Christians. They want to know where their life is going. They want to know what they should do. Some believers even say that they know God's will for them. They'll say that God told them to get a new job. Or they may even say that God told them to get a new wife. I've heard people say that. Sometimes what some people say who call themselves Christians is God's will even goes against what the Bible itself teaches. So how can we know God's will for our lives? Well, depending on how you look at it, that's both a hard and an easy question to answer. Because you see, in the Bible, there are two sides to God's will. God's will can be his secret will. God says that certain things are going to happen, but he doesn't reveal it. He doesn't tell anybody. God keeps his secret will to himself. But God also has a will that he tells us about. God tells us very clearly what he wants us to do and believe. He also tells us some things that we can know for sure are going to happen. We call that his revealed will. We can't have access to God's secret will until after the fact, after things have happened. But God's revealed will is accessible to us because it's in the Bible. God's will, made up of his secret will and his revealed will. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, and next week as well, we're going through the book of Ruth. And we've come to Ruth chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 1 to 3. And in this Bible passage, we see both of these parts of God's will at work, both his secret will and his revealed will, and I think we can learn from this. Well, let me read those first three verses for you. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now you may remember from earlier this week that Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi moved from the land of Moab back to Bethlehem. They were surrounded by death in Moab. Their husbands died there. They had no more kids or grandkids. Ruth and Naomi hoped to find a new life in Bethlehem. And the first chapter ended by saying that the barley harvest was beginning just as they arrived there. Now the second chapter begins by telling us about a relative from Naomi, Boaz. Boaz was a wealthy man. Ruth asked Naomi to let her go to the fields to pick up the leftovers. Naomi told her to go ahead. The last verse tells us that Ruth went out and began working in the fields. She was picking up the leftovers. And then there's something important at the end of verse 3. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Now, especially in this verse, in verse 3, we see God's secret will at work. Because you see, friends, God did not tell Ruth to go and work in the field belonging to Boaz. God didn't give her a dream or a funny feeling in her stomach or something along those lines. God's hand just quietly brought her there. In heaven, God said to himself, "I will bring Ruth to the field of Boaz, and I know this will be good for her. It'll bring her life, because I know that Boaz is a rich man and a relative of Naomi. This is the way I want it to work out." And this is the way it happened. God's secret will was done here on earth. It says in verse 3, as it turned out. When the writer of Ruth put it this way, he was trying to point to God's work. It didn't just happen this way. It wasn't a coincidence. Every believer who reads this book of Ruth knows that God is sovereignly in control of everything that happens. God's secret will can also be called his providence. God's providence is his mighty power. It's his mighty power by which he keeps everything under control. God's providence and secret will are there to work good things for God's people. And Ruth was one of God's people in the Old Testament. If we believe in the Lord Jesus, if we're resting and trusting in him, we are part of God's people today. Then we know that God has a secret will for us. He's not going to tell us exactly what he has planned for us. That's why it's called a secret will. But it isn't completely secret, because we know from the Bible that his secret will is always going to bring good things for us. That part isn't secret. God's intentions are not secret. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The things revealed include God's love for us. God hasn't hidden that from us. The Bible tells us over and over again of God's love for his people. And we know that his secret will cannot go against what he's told us. We can be sure that whatever God has planned for us, it will always be good. It was that way in the days of Ruth, and it's still that way today. God hasn't changed, and he never will change. And we see the same when we look at God's revealed will being carried out in this Bible passage. We read in Ruth 2 that Ruth wanted to go to the fields to pick up the leftover grain. And that's exactly what she did, too. Now, that may sound simple, but we should ask a question. And the question is, what gave Ruth the right to go into a stranger's field and pick up the leftover grain? If you were to do that today, somebody might say that you're stealing. So how could Ruth pick up the leftover grain from a stranger's field? Well, to understand this, we again have to turn to the Bible. In Leviticus 19 and in Leviticus 23, God commanded his people to not pick the grain from the corners of their fields. In Leviticus 19 and 23, they were supposed to leave the leftovers too. They weren't allowed to pick them up. Instead, they were supposed to leave them for the poor. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, we find that the leftovers were supposed to be for the stranger, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Well, Ruth was both a foreigner, she was from Moab, an immigrant, and a widow. So she would be allowed to go into these fields and pick up the leftovers. But she would only be allowed to do that if the people were following God's law. Now, thankfully, they were. There was a time a while back, if we go to the beginning of chapter 1 of this book, there was a time when the people were in rebellion, but the people repented and went back to God's ways. And then they were also letting the poor people in their fields to pick up the leftovers. And so God's people were carrying out his revealed will. God told them to do something, and they were doing it. They were following God's law. And I want you to see here that God's law is doing something good for Ruth. It's bringing life to her. Without that special law in the Old Testament, whereby God showed his love and concern, Ruth and Naomi could starve to death. But God is bringing them life. Notice how God's revealed will, his law, is doing something good for Ruth. God's law was good for her. It was good for Ruth that the people were listening to God's law. And in this text, in this passage, in Ruth 2, 1-3, God is using his revealed will, his law, to keep Ruth safe. He's using his law to keep Ruth safe so that Jesus Christ can eventually come into the world. And the law of God in this passage is what points us to Jesus Christ. How, you ask? Well, it's because he is the one who fulfills the law in every way. He's the one who gives the full life and the full redemption from sin. He's the one who kept the law perfectly. He's the one who showed God's love perfectly. He's also the one who has paid for every time that we have broken God's law. Here in this Bible passage, we see weak people. Weak people like ourselves. Ruth is weak. She depends on other people to help her and to help her mother-in-law. She ultimately depends on God and his revealed will in the Bible. Ruth depends on God's word. Without his word, she would die in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread, but without God's word, it may as well be the house of the dead. And Naomi would die too. But God gives his grace and favor to them, not only with his secret will, bringing Ruth to the field of Boaz, but also with his revealed will. Now, I began with you today by asking how we can know God's will. And I said that it's both an easy and a hard question to answer. God's revealed will is the easy part of the answer. We can know God's will for us by reading the Bible or listening to it all the time, also listening to the preaching of it. We're faced with a hard decision or a hard situation. We don't know which way to turn. We should go looking in the Bible. See what God says there. Look for the wisdom that is found in God's word. And friends, the Holy Spirit will work with us as we read the Bible. He will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us to know what God wants us to do in this situation or that situation. That's God's revealed will, the easy part. God's secret will is the hard part of the answer, because you won't know God's secret will until after it happens. You can only look back, and then all you can say is that it was God's secret will that this happened or that happened. But even then, you know that it was for your good. We don't have to worry about the future. That belongs to God. And we know that his love for us is as sure as it was for Ruth and all the people of God who've gone before us. He will never leave us, turn his back on us, never forsake us. God is good. Let's praise him now and forever. I hope the message today has been a blessing for you, and I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. May God bless you richly.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning, right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.